From the Professional Disc Golf Association, this is PDGA Radio News.
It is the Disc Golf News for the week of April 25, 2005. I'm Brian Sullivan. Coming up this time, take 10 to 20,000 disc golfers, get them all out there at the same time. When that occurs, chances are good, it's the annual World's Biggest Disc Golf Weekend. We'll talk with the World's Biggest Tournament Director, John Houck.
We've even had times when an American disc golfer happened to be in Africa that weekend and made sure they made up a course and played and maybe got some local people involved. So World's Biggest has been darn near everywhere that disc golf exists.
Also this week, surprising results from the Hall of Fame Classic and a preview of the upcoming Dogwood Crosstown Classic in North Carolina. And National Public Radio seems to have taken a shine to our beloved sport. That story and more coming up on this edition of PDGA Radio News, brought to you by No Obstacles Disc Golf at plu-ent.com and by Innova Champion Discs at innovadiscs.com.
The Champion Sidewinder from Innova is the latest addition to the state-of-the-art Champion line. The Sidewinder is designed for long turnover shots and long-distance rollers. The extra long glide will add D to your drives no matter how big your arm is. And the Sidewinder is made with Champion line plastic, so it holds up round after round. Your game just got better with the new Sidewinder from Innova, number one in disc golf.
It was disc golf celebrities as far as the eye could see this past weekend in Augusta, Georgia at the Disc Golf Hall of Fame Classic. Results coming your way beginning with the Masters Division, and this guy's name just keeps coming up again and again and again. Yes, it's Brad Hammack who's going to win it by 5 over Alabama's Tim Keith, and his Alabama buddy Joe Thacker will take 3rd in the Masters. And in the Women's Division, 2 weeks in a row, Juliana out on tour. 2 weeks in a row, Juliana is a winner. Going to win this one by 7 over the youngster Valerie Jenkins, who fought like the Dickens in the 3rd round to snatch 2nd place away from Des Redding. And there you go for the women. Now in the open division, Phil Arthur, who? Well, he doesn't get around much, but he's got game. Took 4th in USDGC's in 99. He's going to win by 3 over Barry Schultz. Can he climb a Pete Middlecap tie up for 3rd? What was really cool, though? Well, as tournament director Brian Graham.
It was really cool seeing all of the Hall of Famers. A lot of them hadn't seen each other in a long time, and it was like a whole reunion.
When you think disc golf, think No Obstacles. No Obstacles Disc Golf is found at www.plu-ent.com. Find custom dive discs, accessories, grip enhancement, apparel, practice baskets, and unique disc items like the fabulous limited edition Discraft Michigan Disc Golf Series Super Color Fundraiser Discs. When you think disc golf, think No Obstacles at plu-ent.com.
Hi, this is Avery Jenkins, and you're listening to PDGA Radio News.
In the big picture this week. Every year about this time, there's one particular weekend where you can go out and find 10 to 20,000 disc golfers all out on their local disc golf courses, all out for the same reason. The World's Biggest Disc Golf Weekend. As I said, it happens every spring. This year it's coming up in a few weeks, so we figured it was time to talk with John Houck. Now, many of you know John Houck as a former PDGA commissioner, a disc golf Hall of Famer, and all-around swell, if hairy, guy. Well, this week, John Houck fills us in on the World's Biggest Disc Golf Weekend and how you can get involved.
John Houck, welcome back to the show.
Thank you, Brian. It's a pleasure as always.
You have your finger in so many disc golf pies. The one we're going to talk about this week is the World's Biggest Disc Golf Weekend. Let's begin with a definition. What exactly does that mean?
Well, it means people all over the world going to their local courses to play disc golf and have fun and do as much as we can to promote the sport in general and help the local people do whatever it is they think they need help with as far as promoting disc golf.
So how does it work?
Well, anybody who wants to run something in their city just gets in touch with us. And we start sending them all the information and all the wisdom that we've accumulated over the years. And the program's changed a lot over the years because the The sport itself has changed a lot over the last 13, 14 years. So we really aim to try to get with the local people, see what it is that's most important to them, whether it's raising the consciousness of the community or trying to get more players, trying to raise money for their course or their tournament, that kind of thing. And we have various player packages set up. I mean, the whole idea is to try to make it attractive for people to want to come out and play and get involved.
And what's the history of the world's biggest disc golf weekend? How long has it been going on?
Well, I think I can do this from memory. I believe the first year was 1991, and it was just in Austin, Texas, at Zilker Park, and it was actually called the world's biggest disc golf tournament. And we wanted to get more people involved in one event than had ever happened before. And I believe the record at that time was 288 people at the PDGA World Championship, and we were able to get, I want to say, 356 players. And with such a success, and we noticed how many people there were who maybe played disc golf or were just getting started in disc golf who didn't really know a lot about what was going on in the sport in general, and how helpful it was for them to be part of an event and meet other new players and get some good information. And we thought this is something that could be good for people to do all over the world. So I believe the following year, 1992, was the first international year, and that's when the ball got rolling on a worldwide basis.
And how has this event grown since?
Well, it grew pretty well the first several years. Our goal was to get 20,000 players around the world, and I think we started in the neighborhood of 12 or 13,000, and I think we got up as high as maybe 18 or 19,000. And with the advent of so many more tournaments and so many more other things going on, the turnout's actually dropped a little bit over the last several years, and we've been about 10,000 or so the last 3-4 years. And what's interesting about that is probably about 40% of that now is coming from Japan. They get a huge turnout for World's Biggest over there.
And obviously World's Biggest has been happening in the U.S. and Canada. What other international countries have been hosting World's Biggest events?
Well, Sweden has always been a big participant. Switzerland has always been big. In fact, there was one year where Winterthur in Switzerland had the biggest turnout in the world. They were up over 400 players in just a tiny little town with a lot of promotion. And Winterthur is actually where Rolf Fry came from. He brought 52 friends to the first World's Biggest, and we named an award after him that exists to this day. So at any local World's Biggest, whoever brings out the most new players wins the Rolf Fry Award. But pretty much any place else that has disc golf has been on board at some point. You know, Germany, Australia, France, Finland. We've even had times when an American disc golfer happened to be in Africa that weekend and made sure they made up a course and played and maybe got some local people involved. So World's Biggest has been darn near everywhere that disc golf exists.
If I am a tournament director and I'm thinking about participating, what are the benefits for my local club?
Well, again, you know, we want the main benefit to be whatever it is that you think you need. And in most cases, it's creating awareness and getting more players out there. But in some cases, you know, they're more interested in raising money. There are actually places now where there are so many people using the only course in town that they don't even have much room for new players, which I guess is a good problem to have. But just depending on what it is that you want to do locally, we've added plenty of flexibility into the program so that we can help you try to do that.
And John, throughout the years, have you ever had an opportunity to follow up with some of the the local tournament directors and find out, you know, how their goals were reached. For example, hey, we got, you know, 50 new players at this event, and by golly, 2 years later, you know, 25, 30 of them are still coming out on a regular basis.
Yeah, absolutely. That's exactly the kind of success story that we've heard over and over again over the years. You know, at the same time, it's kind of like getting tournament results. Sometimes we're not able to get a whole lot of feedback from the tournament directors. But that's one area where I think we can improve a little bit. To be honest with you, we've never really had as much manpower and resources as we would like to devote to World's Biggest. And we're always hoping for bigger and better next year. There's still a lot of potential that's unfulfilled, but, and we're always going to the local TDs and looking for new ideas. Like I said, the sport has changed a lot since 1992. And it used to be that if you told somebody they could get a disc and a t-shirt for $12, they were ready to be your best friend and said, where did I sign? And these days, you know, discs are a lot easier to get a hold of, and disc golf t-shirts are filling many rooms and overflowing dressers everywhere, so they're not necessarily quite as desirable. So we've switched that stuff around. But the point is to do whatever we can to make it attractive for new people to want to come out and give it a try.
Now, I would think if on the local level one of your goals is to get some local media coverage, I would think this would be one of your best options. I mean, if I send a press release to my local newspaper and, you know, two of the words at the headline are World's Biggest blankety blank, I'm guessing that that's going to get some attention.
Well, that's exactly right, and that's what we hope for. That, you know, to say to the local media that we're part of something that's going on all over the world, hopefully that gets the media a lot more interested, because, you know, we all know that there are media people and people in general who don't even know that disc golf exists, much less that it exists all over the world and that there are hundreds of thousands and maybe even millions of people who play. So that's definitely something that we hope, that, you know, if you're a part of World's Biggest and you can show people that you're part of something that's global and growing, that you'll be able to get more interest from the media than you would for, say, you know, just a local or regional tournament.
Okay, John, let's talk specifics. First of all, the dates for this year's World's Biggest?
Well, we have, with all the other events that are going on, it's become a little tricky to get everybody going on the same weekend. And, of course, one of our goals is we have to avoid Mother's Day as much as possible, because we found out that World's Biggest and Mother's Day don't work too well together. So this year, the main weekend is going to be May 14th and 15th. But there are, I think, three cities who are doing their World's Biggest this coming weekend. We've got a few who are going to be May 7th, a couple who are going to be the weekend after the big one on the 21st and 22nd, and even one or two that are going to happen in June. So it'll vary a little bit locally, but the big weekend is May 14th and 15th.
So there is still some time for local clubs to get involved if they're not already. And if they are interested, where do they go?
They need to get in touch with us as soon as possible, because we've only got a couple weeks to make all the discs and t-shirts and get them out to everybody. But we certainly would love to have anybody involved if they want to. And there are plenty of cities that will, you know, schedule something for that weekend, see who shows up, and then order their discs and t-shirts afterwards. There's nothing wrong with that at all. So the best way to get a hold of us is to email our World's Biggest coordinator. Her name is Amelia Lintner, and her email address is al, as in Amelia Lintner, at moment.net, moment.net, or give us a call at 830-833-1227 and ask for Amelia.
And is there any cost to running a World's Biggest event?
Nope. No cost to get involved whatsoever.
And for somebody who wants to play in one of these events, what are they looking at as far as cost?
Well, that now varies depending on the city. The traditional players package, which is what most cities will be doing, is a $12 entry fee. And for that, you get a world's biggest disc from Nineveh and a full-color T-shirt. And there will be some cities where maybe they're trying to raise some money for a charity or a local course fund. It may be a little higher than that. There will be cities where they're trying to make it easier for people to participate, so the entry fee might be lower. But in general, it's going to be right about $12.
And is this a highly competitive event, or not necessarily?
Definitely not necessarily. Part of the one of the things we realized early on was that just having the name tournament in the event title was turning a lot of new players away, and that was probably about 1993 or 94 when we changed it from the world's biggest disc golf tournament to the world's biggest disc golf weekend. And there is some flexibility for the cities there as well. If they think they have players who want to participate in something competitive, they can do that. But for the most part, it's just to get people out there and for them to have some fun, especially for people who haven't played disc golf before. We don't want to put any pressure on them. We just want them to participate. So come out and play around, and if you don't want to show us your scorecard, that's fine with us.
John Houck, always a pleasure, and thanks for your continued support and promotion of the sport.
Well, it's my pleasure as well, and hopefully we'll see you and all your listeners at a World's Biggest nearby.
John Houck is the creator of the longstanding World's Biggest Disc Golf Weekend, coming up this year, May 14th and 15th. Dates may vary at your local course. Check your local schedule. You can also visit circularproductions.com for more information. And you're listening to PDGA Radio News. The dogwood trees are in bloom this week in Raleigh, North Carolina. That must mean it's time for the 21st Dogwood Crosstown Classic. The tournament director is Kirk Yeo.
This is the 21st annual Dogwood Crosstown Classic, started by Carlton Howard 21 years ago. Gosh, he ran it all the way up until the late 90s, at which point he got tired of dealing with the headaches involved with running a fairly large tournament, so he basically said if someone else didn't pick up the reins, it wasn't going to happen anymore, and I figured that since it's been happening that long, I'd like to keep it going, so I took it over, and I've been running it ever since. Defending champ would be Steve Brinster in the Open Division, Leslie Herndon in the Women's Division, and Brad Hammack in the Masters. Open players will be playing Cedar Hills on Saturday, Zebulon on Sunday. Cedar Hills is a wooded course, fairly short, but very distinct fairways. If you know how to throw a straight shot, you can do great on this course. Even though there are holes that go left and right, if you can throw straight, you can probably do fairly well. Zebulon is a beautiful course with a mixture of both open and tight holes. Most every fairway has grass in it, so it's a real pretty course to play. The Masters and Women will be playing Buckhorn and Cedar Hills. There was a scheduling conflict, and we couldn't use Zebulon on Saturday. Buckhorn is a fairly tight, wooded course, probably one of the toughest courses in this part of North Carolina. I would say it's second or third toughest course in the state. This is a tournament that's pretty much what some folks consider or refer to as a players tournament. Basically, what we do here is every dime that comes into the tournament as sponsorship money goes back to the players, as well as every bit of what they put in for their entry fee goes back to them, with the exception of the PDGA fees involved with the national tour.
Kirk Yeo spoke to us from his office in Raleigh, North Carolina, where he is tournament director for this weekend's 21st Dogwood Crosstown Classic National Tour event. Lots of haps this weekend, April 30th and May 1st, including one of the best AM events on the West Coast. It's the Masters Cup in Santa Cruz. Do not miss that event. In Stevens Point, Wisconsin, it's the Standing Rocks Open. Watch out, that's Barry's stomping ground. Birmingham, Alabama, it's the Tax Tourney, and in Japan, it's the Harimachi Open. A couple of Cali events, the Buddha Tree Classic and the Evergreen Open, plus the Heiser Desert Open in Tumalo, Oregon. The last Safari Champion in Akron, PA. Asheville, North Carolina, hosting the Mountain Disc Golf Experience for AMS only. Kalkaska, Michigan, it's the Northern Waters Series number 2. Plus, Georgia, the Stevens County Pro-Am. The Hickory Hills Doubles in LaPorte City, Iowa. In North Dakota, it's the Dickinson Spring Fling. And the only spring opener in Olympia Fields, Illinois. Get the full list anytime, pdga.com. And finally this week, disc golf seems to have appeared prominently on the radar screen of National Public Radio. Yeah, about a month ago, they did a very nice story on the National Disc Golf Center that appeared on Georgia Public Radio. And this past Friday, we hit the national feed. They did a story on the program Day to Day, a nice six-minute piece. It was a preview of the Hall of Fame Classic. Brian Graham did a great job in his part of the interview, and a very nice story. We actually wanted to play you a portion of that. Unfortunately, we were unable to obtain permission to do that in time for this week's show, but we will provide a link for you on the PDGA radio page, and you can also just go to npr.org, do a search on disc golf, and boom, there you go. Great piece on disc golf on National Public Radio. And from PDGA headquarters, you know that newsletter that you get from Communications Director Terry Calhoun? You may have noticed a very slick, nice new look for that. Well, if you enjoy getting that and you're not a renewed member, well, you're not going to get that newsletter much longer. Yeah, we need you to renew your membership. That's one of the benefits of being a member. And to renew your membership, oh, man, that's just so easy. Just go to the website and click around. You will find what you need. Get that taken care of right now while you're thinking of it. Get it out of the way. And those newsletters and the magazine and all the other cool things will continue coming your way. And that, my friends, is the Disc Golf News for the week of April 25th. For the PDGA, I'm Brian Sullivan. Thanks to our sponsors this week, No Obstacles Disc Golf at plu-ent.com and Innova Champion Discs at innovadiscs.com. And until next week, I hope you will get out there, grab a non-disc playing friend, stay out of the shul, and keep them in the fairways.